Our gracious God, our Father, we thank Thee for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for bringing us together at this time in memory of our dear brother who has gone home to be with Thyself. We thank Thee for Thy word in which Thou hast said, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." We thank Thee, our God, that our brother Joe is with Thee, enjoying Thy presence now and forever. He's been released from this body and is with Thee for eternity. We do thank Thee for this, and we ask Thee, our God, to help us to enter into the full meaning of it and appreciation of the fact that where our brother Joe is far better. We just thank Thee for bringing us together, for each one present, and we just pray for Thy blessing and for Thy comfort upon each one. And we thank Thee that this is still the day of Thy grace. And we thank Thee for everyone who has come to put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, as our brother Joe did. We think if there should be anyone in the service this morning who have not yet come to know Thee, they're strangers to Thy grace. We pray, our God, that they might pay close attention to Thy precious word and the messages brought today, that they might pass from death unto life. We just ask all these things and we commit this service into Thy hands, asking Thy blessing in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Be reading the 103rd Psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He hath made known his ways unto Moses and his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful, gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy for them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place there also knoweth no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him and his righteousness upon children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, O ye angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Psalm 103.
Joseph R. Balsam was born in Shamokin, Pennsylvania, on April 25th, 1907, and he passed into the presence of his Lord on Saturday, August 8th, at the age of 85. He is survived by his wife, Charlotte, his daughter, Carolyn Jo, of Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, his son, Carl, of Evanston, Illinois, and four grandchildren, Kurt and Tim Donnan, and Ashley and Aaron Balsam, as well as nieces and nephews. And I know we all extend our heartfelt sympathy to the family in their time of loss, and yet that loss is tempered with joy, isn't it? Because of the knowledge we have that one who has put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm going to do something this morning that Joe wouldn't want me to do. For a few minutes, I'm going to talk about it. You know, he never wanted anyone to talk about him. He always wanted to remain in the background. He didn't want anyone to know of his accomplishments. He preferred to remain anonymous. For he was a quiet, gentle, tender-hearted man who shunned the limelight. He preferred to remain behind the scenes. There was nothing pretentious about him. And as Charlotte said to me the other day when speaking of Joe, you got what you saw. He was one of 10 children in the Balsam family, and he was the last survivor of those 10 children. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior at about age 19. Now, I say about because Joe was never sure of the exact date. He used to say, I didn't have a calendar or a watch at the time, so I'm not sure exactly what it was, but there is one thing of which I'm certain, and that is that I'm saved. That's the important thing, isn't it? And we trust that each one of you here this morning can say that. But during the 66 years of his life that remained after Joe trusted Christ as Savior, he lived an exemplary life of service for his Lord. His life was characterized by faithfulness. In spite of the physical problems that he endured, it was unusual not to see him in his seat at the meeting or working on some project in his garage. And 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28 gives us a list of some of the gifts that God has given to individuals in the church, and one of these is the gift of helps, of being a helper. And without question, Joe Balsam was given that gift. And not only was he given it, but he utilized it to the fullest extent. Now, I know I'm using them completely out of context. And forgive me for that, but there are a few words in the middle of a verse in 2 Timothy 2:15, that have to do with studying the Word of God, but they apply so wonderfully to Joe Balsam He was a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. He was a self-employed excavator and road builder. But because of ill health, Joe sold his business and retired in 1964 at the age of 57. And 9 years later, in 1973, Joe and Charlotte moved here to Greenwood Hills in the home that Joe had built with his own hands. But you know, the use of that word, retired, is really a poor choice of words. For though he retired from operating his own business, he never retired from using the God-given abilities he had to analyze a problem, to arrive at a solution, and to take corrective action. And he used those abilities. He used those abilities here at Greenwood Hills in both the assembly and the conference. And let me tell you, folks, he's going to be sorely missed. You know, I know it's unusual to say that no one can take someone's place because we always feel that no one is irreplaceable. But Joe had a talent. He had an ability that no one else, to my knowledge, has. And he used it for the Lord here at Greenwood Hills. And as you walk through the grounds, you can see Joe's handiwork. His home, the picnic pavilion, the gazebo, the archery hut, the pulpit in the chapel, all things that he made with his hands that are visible. Most of you know that he made the sawmill and cut all of the lumber that was used in the erection of the picnic pavilion. But there is a multitude of things that are not so evident, a multitude of things that he did that are not seen. Repairs to the tractor, and by the way, the tractor is broken again and needs someone to repair it, and we don't have anyone here to do it. The repairs to the tractor and repairs to the golf carts and repairs to the mixer in the kitchen. Was something broken? Take it to Joe and he'd fix it. You need a part? Go to Joe and he would have it. And if he didn't have it, he would make it. And if he didn't make it, he'd make the tool to make it. And if he didn't have the tool, he'd make the tool. But he always had the solution to the problem. And I don't imagine that anything in heaven will ever need to be fixed. But if it does, Joe will be there to handle the job. You know, he's already experiencing some of the wonderful things that are in store for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, his personal Savior. His physical body is here before us this morning. But his spirit is with the Lord, and he's enjoying the presence of the Lord. But there's still much more ahead for him and for us, for those of us who know Christ as Savior. In the coming day, this body, which gave him so many physical problems, will be changed and resurrected and reunited with his spirit. And forever with the Lord in that place that our Lord Jesus Christ is preparing for those who know him even now. And with all of the redeemed, Joel will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive from the Lord rewards for those things that were done for him with the proper motivation. Now we realize, of course, that Christ alone is the sole judge. But I think we can safely say that in that coming day, Joe Balsam will hear from the words of the Savior, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."
In the beloved accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high, safe from all sin through his infinite grace, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then He sees me in a beloved, accepted and free. In a beloved, how safe my retreat. In a beloved, accounted complete. Who can condemn me? In Him I am free. Savior and Keeper, forever is He. In the Beloved, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then He sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free. In the Beloved, I went to the tree. There in His person, by faith I may see. Infinite wrath rolling over His head. Infinite grace, for He died in my stead. In the Beloved, God's marvelous grace calls me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, and then He sees me in the Beloved, accepted and free.
Been a little uneasy the past couple of days. I wanted to do two things that were not exactly correct. And I was struggling with whether I should do them or not. I wish I had talked to Ed before the service about his remarks, because it would have made me feel a lot more comfortable. He set the precedent. He talked about Joe, and he took a scripture out of context. I only had the privilege of knowing Joe over the past 10 summers. I didn't know him in what we might call the prime of his life. I even have trouble picturing what that was like, because to me, he always seemed to be in the prime of his life. But Sunday morning, as I was trying to collect my thoughts and deal with the reality of what had happened, some verses came to mind. verses that were not written about Joe. But they seem to be so appropriate. And I'd like to consider them briefly with you now. They come from the book of the Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ. These things saith the first and the last, which became dead and is alive. John is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, the creator of life. The eternal God. These things, saith he, I know thy works, I would love to take the next 4 or 5 hours and tell you just some of the things Joe did over the past 10 summers that I've known him. But I can't. I'd love to tell you about the things he did for other people, just the things I know about. Not things he did for himself, but things that he did for others. If I was to take the time to tell you about the things he did for himself, I don't know if I could fill 10 minutes. If I took 4 or 5 hours and told you about the things he did for others, just in the past, 10 summers, I guarantee I would not mention something you know he did for others. It's not possible to list them all. Humanly speaking. If the Lord Jesus Christ, the one he loved and loved to serve, can say, I know thy works, every single one of them. He didn't even really do things for others. He did things for others, but because of his love for the Lord Jesus Christ, his personal Savior, the one that, though he had known him for 66 years, he had an ongoing, growing relationship with the one who loved him and gave himself for him. That one goes on to say, I know thy works and tribulation. And I'm not even sure 4 or 5 hours could cover Joe's tribulation the past 10 summers. He knew testing like few of us have ever been called to go through. But the one who is there with him every step of the way can say, I know thy tribulation. I know thy works. I know thy tribulation. I know thy poverty. Joe was one who was truly able to say, to quote one verse of Scripture that very few Christians can honestly quote. In whatsoever state I am, I know to be content. I envy Joe for his contentment. But you know, godly contentment does not bring much by the way of this world's goods. If Joe had used his abilities and talents that Ed was mentioning, in the business world, he could have marketed himself in such a way he would be worth billions today. That wasn't Joe's motive. But listen to what his Lord and Savior has to say. I know thy works, tribulation, and poverty, but thou art for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, heaven is a place that is full of surprises. No matter how vivid our imagination, no matter how wild our imagination, we cannot come close to comprehending what a place like heaven is like. It's just not humanly possible. But I think one of the biggest surprises for Joe, when he entered into the gates of eternity, was to begin to find out just how rich he was. If just a glass of water given in the name of the Lord brings reward, Joe has entered into an inheritance that is far greater than he could have ever imagined. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Be thou faithful until death, and I will give you the victor's crown of life. He that overcometh shall not be hurt by the second death. One word that marked Joe in the 10 years I knew was the word faithful. And you know, it's the only word that really matters as far as God's concerned. The God of the universe and all that it means, the power, the riches, the might that goes with it. Human strength, human wealth, human anything does not matter to God. But faithfulness is something that's dear to his heart. And Joe was faithful until death. Before that, he received the victor's crown of life. Not because of his works. Not because of all of the things that he did for others. Not because learning to be content in whatever state he was, he almost took a vow of poverty. Not because of anything he did other than the fact that he put his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. accepted the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ made at Calvary's cross for him and for his sins. He accepted that sacrifice as his own sacrifice. And for that he's received the victor's crown of life. If Joe was here this morning, he would be upset if we heard us talk about him. He'd be brokenhearted, though, if he knew that there was somebody here this morning that didn't know his Lord and Savior like he knew him. He loved to be sure a person knew his Lord and Savior if he first met him. Matter of fact, he would like you to know him so much that even though he's had a taste of glory now, Joe, being the man he was, would want you to have his victor's crown of life. If it was the only way you'd come to know him. That's one thing Joe can't do. You have to do that for yourself. Carl was telling me last night that one of the first times he faced the reality of death, one of the things he came to realize was that that crown of life was not passed on by osmosis just because he was the son of godly parents. It was something he had to come to receive himself. You know how Joe would long to know that everyone here this morning knew his Lord and his Savior as their own personal Savior. So that you would not have to fear death. Death is just the word that the Bible uses to describe separation. Joe is separated from us now. But that's what Scripture refers to as the first death. The second death is separation from God for eternity. And Joe had no fear of that second death. And he would want me this morning to be very sure that I made it very clear that everyone here does not have to fear the second death. They don't have to accomplish the things that Joe accomplished. They don't have to suffer the things that Joe suffered. They simply have to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ goes on to say, "These things saith he that is holy, he that is true." Those two statements about the Lord Jesus Christ tell us that he has to be God. Holiness and truth are only two things that can describe God and God alone. But what it means to you and I is that his word cannot fail. He that is holy and he that is true means everything he says. "These things saith he that is holy and he that is true. I know thy works." "Behold, I have set before thee an open door, gates of eternity were opened wide. Saturday morning for Joe. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength. One thing that would constantly annoy him was the loss of his strength. He couldn't do what he used to do. But it's a characteristic in human beings that God again delights in, because it causes one to lean heavily on the Lord himself and not in their own strength. Thou hast little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. Because thou hast kept the word of my endurance, I also will keep thee. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. In eternity past, when the blueprints were drawn up for the holiest of holies in heaven, there was a place marked on the foundation stone. Joseph Russell Balsam. And Joe stands now a pillar in the temple of his God. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Despite our loss, despite our sorrow, we can't help rejoicing this morning in knowing that Joe is now a pillar in the temple of Charlotte. Before us is the reality that Joe's gone. But in leaving, he's left us things. He's left a legacy. Perhaps his most cherished legacy he would have to leave to you. It's Carl and Barbara, JoJo and Tom, Kurt and Tim, Aaron and Ashley. How he loved you. You don't need me to tell you that. But I know in the way he spoke. But he left you someone else. He left you his Lord and Savior. The one that was with him every step of the way is still here. I think the things the Lord said to Joshua when Moses died are still true this morning. And if the Lord was here in person, he'd say them to you. J. Joseph, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise. As I was with Joseph, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. Only be thou strong and very courageous. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for Jehovah thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest.
Turning our hymn books to number 2. Hymn number 2, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Singing.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. Oh.
shall we close our service in prayer? Our gracious and merciful God, our Father, Thou who art from everlasting to everlasting, as we've heard from Thy word today, we bless Thee and we thank Thee for Thy goodness and Thy mercy and Thy love toward us. Thou who art a God of all comfort, we thank Thee, Father, for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, above all Thy mercies has bestowed. We thank Thee for Him. And we know that because of the faith in Him and in Thy Word, that our dear brother is in Thy presence today. We do thank Thee for the numberless ways in which he showed his faith and trust in Thee, and through his walk, what was in his heart came out as a display of Thy goodness and mercy to him for the salvation that he had. And we thank Thee that he is in Thy presence where there is joy forevermore and there is service and there is worship of Thee, O God, for what Thou hast done. We thank Thee for the scriptures that have been opened this day in the Word concerning the future. We do pray, Father, that each one in this audience may have trusted Christ as their Savior and thereby have eternal life. We recall His words, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And we know that these bodies, these corruptible bodies, will put on incorruption, and a new spiritual body will be raised. Those who are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye when the Lord Jesus comes back to take his bride, the church, all those who have trusted in that precious blood that he shed. Father, we do pray for the family. Our sister Charlotte, we pray for thee to comfort her and Carol and Joe and Carl and all the others, the children, the grandchildren. We pray for the family, for they are experiencing sorrow. But it's not as those that have no hope, for we know that there's a time coming, that golden daybreak we were reminded of today, when we'll all be together in Thy presence. And Father, we do pray too for those who will be traveling to the burial site for a safe trip and a return. Now unto Him, Father, that has loved us and that is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think, through the power of His resurrection and that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. We pray in the worthy name of our Savior. Amen.
At the time the programs were prepared, the pallbearers here at Greenwood Hills were not selected, and we might just mention them. Her partner, Bob Cox, Ed Coleman, Ned Keller, Connie Plasterer, and Norman Wilson. Each of you is invited to a light lunch down in the inn. We would ask that you go down promptly
And on behalf of the family, we would like to extend their apologies because it will be necessary for them to leave no later than 11:45 in order to get to the cemetery, which is the Cedar Hill Cemetery in Suitland, Maryland. So if you would proceed promptly at the conclusion of this service to the inn and then excuse the family when they leave, that would be appreciated.